السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد. Over the past few nights we have been discussing with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala some important qualities of the heart that we should make an effort to develop within ourselves, and ultimately it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the being who can change the hearts. As we had mentioned in the initial programs, that Allah Ta'ala is the one who can turn hearts. Allah Ta'ala is the one who can purify hearts. So therefore we should constantly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ya Allah, change the condition of my heart, purify my hearts. But for us to understand and to identify some weaknesses that we may be having, so we will just mention a few points. And thus far we've spoken about the importance of ikhlas and sincerity, and how we should make an effort to develop ikhlas within our lives, and how dangerous it is that if we do an action devoid of sincerity, that it is absolutely in vain, it is useless, it is not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We then moved on to the topic of love, how to develop love in our hearts, love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love for deen, love for anything associated to deen, love for the ulama-i kiram, for the mashayikh, etc. Today we are going to be speaking, and the topics that we are speaking of about are not in any particular order. So one may be of a higher priority than the next. For example, what we are going to discuss now is extremely important. Some ulama-i kiram have explained that is ummul amrad. It is the mother of all sicknesses. And we have to understand both sides of the coin. So we will first speak of the positive, and that is the development of humility within ourselves. How important it is to develop this quality of humility within ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and amongst the many qualities they have, one of the qualities that they walk on this earth with humility. Now we must understand that walking on the earth with humility doesn't mean that the person must now, you know, lower his back and bend down every time. Sometimes the person can be lowering his back and he can be bowing down and he can appear very humble, but the pride can still be lurking within the heart. The pride can still be lurking within the heart. This is something that sometimes the mashayikh, we will not even realize, but the mashayikh are the ones that will catch the pride out. And where that pride can be tested sometimes is that now a person will say that, you know, I am nothing, I am useless, I am very, very weak servant of Allah. But if somebody confronts him and says, you know, what you did was wrong, this what you did was wrong, now see what happens to his so-called humility, where he said, I am nothing. Now he becomes very, very agitated. He becomes very angry. He wants to take revenge. And now he wants to retaliate. So this is a sign that pride is still lurking within. This is something that we have to constantly make a tremendous effort towards. If we look at shaitan, what caused shaitan to go astray? It was the same pride. Ulama-i kiram explain that shaitan had three ayns. Shaitan had three ayns. Shaitan was an abid of Allah Ta'ala. He was a great worshipper. The kind of ibadat that he made, according to some mu'arrikheen, that there is no spot on the surface of the earth except that shaitan, iblis, made some form of ibadat on it. So he was such an abid. We won't find any person making such ibadat of Allah Ta'ala the way shaitan made ibadat. So he was a great abid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with that, he was an alim. He was extremely knowledgeable. In fact, it is shaitan who causes the ulama to deviate. If a person can cause someone else to deviate, his level of knowledge must be of a higher degree than the person who is leading astray. So shaitan is the greatest alim. He knows the shariat of Adam alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam. Our ulama struggled just to study the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, let alone the entire four madahib. But yes, shaitan knew everything. He knows all the So what an alim he is. What great knowledge he is. On one occasion, it is mentioned, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi was making ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then suddenly, he saw a hand coming from the sky, and in that hand was a gold goblet, a golden goblet. And in the golden goblet there was wine. And the voice called out that, "Oh Abdul Qadir, that now is the time that you are going to be rewarded for all the efforts that you have made. All the tremendous efforts you have made, now is the time you are going to be rewarded." But mashallah, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani was an alim adeen, he had knowledge. So he said, "This can never be. This can never be, because in the shariat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that golden utensils are haram and wine is also impermissible. So this can never be." So as if the test was over, but it wasn't over. Because then the caller said that, "Oh Abdul Qadir, your knowledge saved you." So he said, "No, it was not my knowledge that saved me. It was Allah that saved me." So look at that, there was one test upon the next test. So look at how sharp and how intelligent and what level of knowledge Shaitan has. So Shaitan was an alim. He also had the ayn of ilm. Together with that, he was an arif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He recognized the qualities of Allah ta'ala. Normally, when a person gets angry, we become overwhelmed by our anger. Now if a son makes the father angry, and then the son goes to the father and says, "Dad, can I borrow your car to go visit my friends?" So the dad will say that, "You know, forget car, I feel like giving you one tight slap. Don't even ask for the car." So generally what happens is a person, when he gets angry, he's overwhelmed by his anger, and you have to wait for the father to cool off. You have to wait for the right opportunity before you can put forward your proposal. But Shaitan knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was never lost control. Allah never loses control. Allah's anger is not like the anger of man, that Allah's anger overwhelms him. Hence, even when he refused to obey the command of Allah ta'ala to prostrate before Adam ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, he refused. Point blank, "I'm not going to asjudu liman khalaqta teena." What? Must I make sajda to the one who's been created from sand? "Ana khayrun min," I am better than him. I am not going to lower myself. No way. Though it was the command of Allah ta'ala, Allah is saying, "Usjudu li Adam," but he refused. And just at that point, he makes a dua to Allah ta'ala, "Andirni ila yawmi yub'athun." "Oh Allah, give me life till the day of Qiyamah. Give me life till the day of Qiyamah." So he makes a dua despite knowing that Allah is angry. This indicates that he recognized the sifat of Allah ta'ala. He knew that Allah ta'ala will even accept his dua. On this point we take a lot of comfort and solace. That sometimes, you know, we say that, you know, "My duas, where will Allah accept my duas?" You hear people saying this, "Mawlana sahab, you make dua for me, where will Allah accept my duas? You know, I am a sinful person." So the question we will ask to them, that are you more sinful than Shaitan? Have you angered Allah ta'ala more than Shaitan? If Allah ta'ala was willing to accept the dua of Shaitan despite being angry with Shaitan, why will Allah ta'ala not accept our dua? وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah says, "Call unto me, I will accept your dua." So never ever lose hope in making dua to Allah ta'ala. Raise these begging bowls that Allah has attached to our hands. Call unto Allah ta'ala, Allah will answer your dua. Yes, you may not get the answer immediately. Insan, the nature of insan is, you know, we like instant results. We are living now in a world like that, where everything is instant. You get instant noodles, instant coffee. So everything we want instant too. So we make dua, the youngster is making dua for a Ferrari, he goes outside to see whether it's parked there. So it doesn't happen like that. So we have to, when we make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes Allah will give you what you're asking for, ulama ikram explain. Or Allah ta'ala will give you something even better than that. Or sometimes Allah ta'ala averts some calamity by virtue of that dua that you made. Or it comes in riwayat that dua is not accepted in this world, but rather it is kept for the hereafter. To the extent that when the servant will go into the hereafter and see certain bounties, he would say, "On what basis have I received these bounties?" It will be said to him that, "You remember on a certain day you made a certain dua. That dua was not accepted in the world, but in lieu of this dua, this is what you have received." The person will wish that none of his du'as were accepted in this world. When he will see the bounty, say, I wish none of my du'as are accepted. I rather should have just carried on with these bounties in Jannah. So nevertheless, Shaitan also was a arif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there was one thing that was missing. And that was, he was not an ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was not an ardent lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise the ashik will say, Ya Allah, no matter what you say, I will do it. Whether it makes sense to my logic, it doesn't make sense to my logic. But I'm willing to go ahead. So the question now is, look at this. Shaitan was an alim, he was an abid, he was an arif. But yet he went astray. Yet he went astray. And what was that? It was that inner takabbur and that pride that was within himself. He was making ibadat, and that ibadat was increasing and intensifying the pride. His knowledge was intensifying the pride. His ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala was intensifying his pride. Hence, you know, there was an incident of Hakimul Ummah, Mujaddidul Millah, Mawlana Ashraf Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, where a Shaykhul Hadith had come to sit in his khanqa during the month of Ramadan. Now being a Shaykhul Hadith of a madrasa. So he came forward to Hazrat. He said, you know, Hazrat, you making dua and we are making dua also. But one thing I noticed, I can't cry in my dua. I can't cry in my dua. Now obviously, Hakimul Ummah was a person who, he was, you know, a spiritual doctor, if we may say. You know, as a physical doctor, he just looks at the patient and he can just immediately see that, you know what, it looks like you've got the symptoms of COVID, you know, or you seem to be having a flu. He just straight away, by just looking at you, he knows straight away. So in the same way, the spiritual doctors, they just look at the person and they are able to ascertain that they... So Hazrat realized that this Shaykhul Hadith, some takabbur and some pride had entered the heart very secretly without realizing. So he told him that what you do for the next few days, the wuzu khana, I want you to clean it. Now imagine the Shaykhul Hadith, and those wuzu khanas in India were not like, mashallah, here we got a lovely wuzu khana, you know, beautiful tiles and nice taps. There the wuzu khanas are very, very different, you know. And it's very dirty and so on. So he, the Shaykhul Hadith, now was instructed to clean the wuzu khana. And now you can imagine. So now he started cleaning. And he says, he reports back to Hazrat. He says that just one or two days I cleaned. And then when I went back, he says, now when I picked up my hand, before I even start dua, the tears are already rolling down. What happened? Basically that fana'iyah took place now. That fana'iyah, that the person completely annihilated himself, regarded himself now as absolutely nothing. And Hazrat made him realize it more. Not that he had that kind of pride, but Hazrat just made him realize it more. That you, no matter what it is, but yeah, you are absolute. Remember, you are absolutely nothing. And Allah Ta'ala reminds us also in the Quran Sharif. Yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, the verses of the Quran Sharif were recited. Huwa a'lamu bikum idh ancha'akum min al-ardi wa idh antum fi وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah is reminding us who we really are. Who are we really? That is why there was one Buzruk was walking, and as he was walking, I heard this incident from Mawlana Yunusab. So as he was walking, he knocked into someone. So when he knocked into this person, who was a very arrogant and proud person, this person turned around and said, you know who I am? Do you know who I am that you knocked me like this? So that Buzruk, that Wali of Allah, says, yes, I know exactly who you are. I can tell you with regards to your past, your present and your future. As far as your past is concerned, then you were a drop of, you know, impure fluid. And as far as your present condition is concerned, then right now you are carrying a few milliliters of urine and you've got stool in your body. And as far as your future is concerned, you are soon going to be a rotting corpse. What he was trying to tell him, that what are you proud of? What are you arrogant of? Who are you really? What do you really think you are? On a lighter note, there was the Prime Minister, many years ago, the Prime Minister of Pakistan, you know, they had built an asylum, you know, what we term as a Pagal Khana for mad people. So he went to go visit the Pagal Khana. So when he went there, there was one inmate, one person there inside. So, you know, Hazrat came there and this person saw the Prime Minister rather coming there. So as soon as he saw the Prime Minister coming, he says, Ek aur a gaya. One more, it looks like one more, we got one more candidate here. So the Prime Minister asked him, Jante ho main kaun hu? Do you know who I am? He says, no, who are you? He said, no, I'm the Prime Minister. He says, yeah, that's what I also used to say. I used to say the same thing. That's why they put me here. So anyway, sometimes the person, we need to realize what our reality is, that we are absolutely nothing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shaitan, now that pride came into his heart, and the pride caused him to go astray. So pride is the killer disease. Pride is that very disease that caused shaitan to be rejected from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many spiritual diseases that come out of and that become a reality because of this pride. Nevertheless, whenever we achieve anything, then remember, always remain humble. You know, attribute that achievement to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, and you try and memorize these verses of the Quran Sharif, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever bounty you have in your life, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't ever attribute it to yourself. So if somebody comes and praises you, that mashallah, you know, you are such an intelligent person. You know, you're so good looking. You're such a wealthy person. So they are praising you. So remember, when they are praising you, then you should say to yourself that, Ya Allah, in reality, they are praising you. Because who is the being who granted me this intelligence? Who is the one who gave me my beauty? Who is the one who gave me the ability to go and study and get these degrees and, you know, get all the experience? If Allah Ta'ala didn't give the person intelligence, then he would have been in the Pagal Khana that we spoke about. He would have been there as well. Allah Ta'ala made it such that the intelligence worked well, they're able, and sometimes a person is intelligent, but the circumstances are such that he just doesn't have the opportunity to study. The wealth is not there, the time is not at hand, yet he's so intelligent, but he doesn't get the opportunity to study. So it is nothing but the bounty of Allah Ta'ala that this person has been, you know, been given that opportunity to develop that quality. Hence, when someone is praising you, then tell yourself that in reality they are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we get very carried away with the praises of others. So we start believing the praises of other people. That if they're all saying I'm pious, I mean, if everybody is saying I'm pious, it must be I am pious. I mean, why will everybody say I'm pious? It must be I am pious. So it also reminds me of an incident which I heard from Maulana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, that there was a person who had a conveyance, he had a horse, and he was really sick and tired of that horse. This horse was stubborn, you know, just refused to listen, and it became more of a burden on him. So he decided that enough is enough. I had enough of this horse. I'm going to sell it. So he headed for the marketplace, and there he paid a fee to one of these, you know, people who do the auction, you know, you call them auctioneers or what. So he paid the person the fee, and now this person, you know, stood up on that pulpit or whatever it is, and now he started praising this horse. And he started going on and on and on praising the horse. So this person, the owner of the horse, now when he heard all the praises, he said, hold on a second, wait, if this horse is so good, why am I selling it? So he took the horse back and he returned back home. So the moral of the story is that we know what our weaknesses are. We know our faults better than anyone else. Now somebody starts praising us, so we start believing the praises of that person. If they're saying I'm very pious, then I think I am pious. I mean, for what are they saying I'm pious then? Yet we know how sinful we are. We know what our weaknesses are. We know how often we violated the commands of Allah Ta'ala. We know what's the standard and condition of our salah, what level of concentration we have. Is our tilawat of the Quran Sharif worthy of a presentation in the court of Allah Ta'ala? So then why are we getting carried away with the praises of others? Another beautiful example which Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah used to give. He says that there was a woman, a bride, who was about to get married, and now she was being, you know, prepared by the woman folk of the house, and they were putting the makeup and the jewelry and the clothing, and they were beautifying her, they were adorning her. And now as they were adorning her, they started praising her, and they say, you look so beautiful. Now when they made the statement, she started to tear, she started to cry. So they said, well, why are you crying? We are praising you, we're not insulting you, we are praising you. So she said, no, that you are praising me. But I don't know, if I go in front of my husband and if he is not happy with me, then what's the use of your praises? Yes, when my husband says that I am beautiful and, you know, and I look good and he finds that, you know, he is inclined to me, then I can smile and I can celebrate. So what a beautiful example. That if people are praising us, so that is in its place. But that doesn't mean that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us. On the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Ta'ala says that, oh my Banda, I am happy with you, I am pleased with you, now is the time that we can really rejoice. That is why Hazrat Mu'ashraf Izhar Thani Rahmatullahi says that, you know, a true buzruk and wali of Allah Ta'ala never suffer from pride. Never suffers from pride rather. Because there is something that's always eating him up from within. And what is that? That I don't know whether I will leave this world with iman or not. I don't know whether I will leave this world with iman or not. The person, his entire life, you know, he can be doing the right. And at the last moment, if iman is snatched away from the person, how do we know? Hence the arif and the wali of Allah Ta'ala, he is always looking at the outcome and the end result. People are praising us. We make shukr to Allah. That is also one of the tafsirs of Rabbana Atina Fid Dunya Hasana Thanai Khalq. That if people are praising you, at that time the easiest thing to say is, may Allah Ta'ala accept your good opinion. It is your good opinion, that too is a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. I make dua that Allah Ta'ala accepts your good opinion. I am not pious, but I make dua that Allah Ta'ala makes me pious. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi used to say, أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ. Imagine Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, what a faqih, what a personality, what kind of taqwa he had. It is said that he would perform salat at night and recite the entire Quran Sharif during the course of the night. For so many years he did this. What kind of entire life dedicated to the service of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he recites these couplets of poetry. He says, أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي صَلَاحًا. He says, I love the pious, but I am not from the pious. He says, I am not from the pious. يَظُنُّ النَّاسُ بِي خَيْرًا وَإِنِّي لَشَرُّ النَّاسِ إِلَّمْ يَعْفُ عَنِّي. He says that people, you know, have very good thoughts about me. They've got very good opinions about me. But the reality is that I am the most despicable of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah used to say and advise his murids. He said that every morning when you wake up, then speak to your nafs and announce to yourself that, oh Allah, from the entire Muslim, Jamaatul Muslimin that are living right now on the surface of the earth, I am the worst from all of them. I am the worst. And I don't know that if iman is snatched away from me, I am even worse than a dog and a pig. And then he used to explain, he said that, look, a dog and a pig, on the day of Qiyamah, they will turn into dust. But the kafir, the person who is deprived of iman, then forget turning into dust, he will be flung into the fire of Jahannam, khalidina fiha abada. So who is worse? Is that pig worse or is that disbeliever worse? And if iman is snatched from my heart, then I'm even worse than the dog and that pig. So this was a way, this was, if we may say, an antibiotic to try and that injection to try and keep the balance within oneself, that don't allow that pride. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is the one who has really got humility in himself. So therefore, this quality of humility, how we can develop this quality of humility, constantly focus on our weaknesses. Keep on focusing on our weaknesses. We know what our weaknesses are. Don't ever become oblivious of your weaknesses. Keep on focusing on your weakness. And remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. When you see a weakness in another person, that is actually a reflection in yourself, that do I perhaps have this weakness in myself? And I probably also have that weakness within myself. So instead of pointing the finger at the next person, look at ourselves first. We say that if you're pointing your finger at the person, then look at how many fingers are pointing back at yourself. One person came to Maynus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and mashallah, he made some changes in his life. He was really leading a sinful life, and he's changed his life completely. And he came into Hazrat Sohbat and he started listening to the bayans and so on. And then he mentioned this to me as well, and then afterwards he mentioned it to Hazrat. He says, you know, I'm feeling very, very satisfied, but there's one thing that, you know, is obstructing my heart. So Hazrat, what is that? He said that, you know, when I think of a buzruk and a wali of Allah, then I think of someone that must be following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam par excellence. And I've been noticing that you wear your watch in your left hand. So this is something that I can't seem to reconcile. I can't seem to reconcile this here. And then anyway, Hazrat explained to him that first of all, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in their time, they didn't even have watches. And then as far as that goes, Hazrat explained also that as far as the watch goes, Hazrat finds it more suitable that the watch is on the left hand, because he answers the letters with the right hand, and the watch tends to come into the way, and that weight as well. So it's more practical for the watch to be on the left hand. And Hazrat explained this aspect. And then anyway, he went on further to speak to Hazrat about, you know, some bond that he had on the house and that interest that he was paying and must make dua. So Hazrat afterwards mentioned, okay, bhai, look at shaitan. Look at how shaitan deceives a person. That you have got a python around your neck, that is curled around your neck, but you are concerned about the fly that is sitting on the nose of the next person. So this is how shaitan, he diverts us from our major, major problems that we have in our life. And we look at that one, and look at how that one is doing, and look at this person got no yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, and that one doesn't have tawakkul, and this, and we just go around judging this one and that one, and then in the process we're forgetting our own weaknesses. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala grant me firstly the tawfiq to implement these qualities. The speaker is my ears are closest to my mouth, closer than anyone else. So Allah Ta'ala grant me firstly the tawfiq to make amal. So this humility is something which Allah Ta'ala dearly loves. Look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the level of humility found in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one occasion, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked and inquired from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that why are you exerting yourself in ibadah to this level? وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform salah hatta tawarramat qadamahu, until his mubarak feet became swollen. There are many ahadith that display the remarkable salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lengthy salah that he would perform, tahajjud salah, and his feet would become swollen. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has forgiven all your sins, you are ma'soom, you are sinless, why are you exerting yourself to this level? Look at the answer of Rasulullah. And this answer itself will show you the level of humility and how down to earth Rasulullah says. Nabi Kareem Sassam said, Afala akuna abdan shakura. When Allah has been so kind to me, so merciful to me, when Allah has favored me with so many bounties, should I not express my gratitude and my appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This shows that gratefulness and that humility, and that gratefulness also comes out of humility. That person who's got humility, he'll feel that I'm not even worthy of this gift that was given to me. And therefore, I need to thank the person that I was not even worthy of this gift. The person gave me the gift. Brother, Jazakallah for giving me this gift. But that person who's got takabbur and pride in him, he won't feel. He said, well, he gave me such a cheap gift. Who he thinks I am? It's such a cheap gift he gave. So you won't even think about saying Jazakallah to the person. In fact, you'll be upset that the person didn't give you a more expensive gift, because of that pride that's within the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the quality of humility. So remember, and we study history, we'll find that what was the end result of the arrogant ones? What was the end result? Allah gives so many incidents. Inna Qarun kana min qawmi Musa fabaga alayhim. And in our life, there are so many incidents of this nature. The Titanic ship. So when they were releasing the ship, one of the statements that was made, that the ship is such that even God can't sink it. The unsinkable ship. What happened? We all know, history best testimony. It is mentioned that Muhammad Ali, he said, I am the greatest, that's when he got floored. So when the person makes the claim that we are the greatest, then that is when Allah Ta'ala causes the person to collapse. So don't attribute any greatness to yourself. Attribute all greatness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the qualities of humility. Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam have given us a wonderful glad tiding. That man tawada'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah. The person who will humble himself, the end result of that humility will only cause him to rise higher. So now look at logic. Logic will tell you that if you are humbling yourself, you are actually, you know, humiliating yourself. But Allah says that if you will humble yourself, then the system of Allah is that your humility will only cause you to rise higher. It will increase your respect. Inevitably, your respect will increase. وَمَن تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. And the person who is proud and arrogant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause this person to collapse, to fall down, the person to fail. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdihi, inshallah. Recite Durud Sharif. Allahumma salli ala
Sayyidina. La ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nafsu shaytan dono ne mil kar hai, kya hai mujhko taba. Nafsu shaytan dono ne mil kar hai, kya hai mujhko taba. Ae mere maula, meri madad kar, chahta hu main teri pana. Ae mere maula, meri madad kar, chahta hu main teri pana. Mujh sa khalq mein koi nahi, gobad kirdar na masiya. Mujh sa khalq mein koi nahi, gobad kirdar na masiya. Tu bhi magar ghafar hai ya rab, بخش دے میرے سارے گناہ. تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب, بخش دے میرے سارے گناہ. اب تو رہے بس تاد میں آخر, ورد زبائے میرے الہ. لا الہ الا اللہ, لا الہ الا اللہ, لا إله إلا الله, 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه. Allah, 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 Allah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayri al-khalqi kullihimi.
Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima hu ahlu. O Kareem, Rahim, most forgiving, most loving, most caring Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. O Allah, these wonderful, noble qualities of humility, of love, of sincerity, Ya Allah. O Allah, we have spoken about it, Ya Allah. O Allah, we have described it, Ya Allah. But this does not mean that we've got these qualities, Ya Allah. O Allah, you bless us with these wonderful qualities, Ya Allah. O Allah, remove the insincerity from our heart, Ya Allah. Remove the hatred from our hearts, Ya Allah. O Allah, remove the takabbur and the pride from our hearts, Ya Allah. Bless us with humility, Ya Allah. That humility that is within our hearts, Ya Allah, that we regard ourselves as absolutely nothing, Ya Allah. O Allah, what are we, Ya Allah? All everything that we have is nothing but your bounty, Ya Allah. You are that being who brought us from non-existence into existence, Ya Allah. You have always been there for us, Ya Allah. O Allah, there is no one for us besides you, Ya Allah. Every single ni'mah and bounty that we have in our lives are nothing but your bounty, Ya Allah. That which is given to us by you, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us the tawfiq to realize this, Ya Allah. O Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins, Ya Allah. Those which we committed knowingly, unknowingly in the light of day, darkness of night, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. O Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah, Ya Allah. Bless us with the noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all those who have rights upon us, Ya Allah. O Allah, O Allah, bless, Ya Allah, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, jitne bhi deen kaam ho raha hai, sabko qubool farma. All the works of deen accept it, Ya Allah. O Allah, O Allah, change the condition in this country, Ya Allah, from insecurity to security, Ya Allah, from instability to stability, Ya Allah, from corruption, Ya Allah, into trust and loyalty, Ya Allah. O Allah, grant us all the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to make khidmat of your deen, Ya Allah. Blow the winds of hidayat, Ya Allah, in this country and in this continent and throughout the world, Ya Allah. O Allah, restore the dignity of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have mercy upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially, Ya Allah, the refugees, Ya Allah, that are in the refugee camps, Ya Allah. What kind of a Ramadan they are experiencing, Ya Allah. Have mercy upon them, Ya Allah, and all those who are suffering in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, we have to leave this world one day, Ya Allah. When the time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Medina Sharif, Ya Allah, at the Rawdah Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, cause our soul to depart, Ya Allah. But O Allah, if it is not muqaddar there, wherever it may be, Ya Allah, give us a death of barakat, Ya Allah. Do not let the angel of death find us in any sin, Ya Allah. O Allah, O Allah, protect our children, Ya Allah. Protect our wealth, Ya Allah. Protect our homes, Ya Allah. O Allah, O unite the hearts of parents and children, brothers and sisters, family members, Ya Allah. O Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. You are well aware of all the good desires and aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his hand before you, Ya Allah. Fulfill all their good desires and aspirations, Ya Allah. Whatever challenge, difficulty, sickness they are going through, you are well away, Ya Allah. You remove it, Ya Allah. Bifadlika wajudika wa karamika ya akram al-akramin. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.